Hey, this is Dominic Enyart, host of The Dominic Enyart Show. And on my show last week, we were talking about the age of accountability. And after that episode, a listener of mine sent me a link, which was to an episode that my father had done back in 2010. Bob Enyart had done on the age of accountability, and I hadn't realized that he had talked about that. And so I went and I listened to it, and as it was timely to what we were talking about last week, I thought today on Bob Enyart Live, when we go back and air the broadcast classics, we could air this show on the age of accountability. Really interesting stuff. It's, you know, it's fun for me because there is a little bit of overlap in what we talked about. And so that's kind of cool and encouraging and fun for me. But yeah, let's go ahead and hear this from the late, great Bob Enyart.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It is Friday afternoon, and on Fridays, we like to take it easy and invite your calls, kick back, think about what's happening in our country, in our state, in your home, in your life. Our number here, 1-278. Now, Spain, is Spain still in the World Cup? This is interesting because, of course, one of the co-sponsors of Colorado's Amendment 62, Gualberto Garcia Jones, we lovingly refer to Gualberto as Guabe. Guabe's from Spain, right? España? Spain is doing so well, and Guabe's always in a good mood. So Spain doesn't realize it, but they're helping the personhood campaign in Colorado because they're keeping Guabe fired up. I don't watch soccer. I played soccer in college, and I wanted to quit after I broke the leg of a player from, was that Boston College? Broke his leg, compound fracture, and it took a while for the ambulance to get there, and it was just so discouraging. I wanted to quit. The coach didn't let me quit. I went to a small school on the East Coast, Nyack Bible College. Small school. Beautiful campus on the Hudson River north by the Tappan Zee Bridge in New York State. And across the river was King's College. And the King's College is now in New York City in the Empire State Building. And that's where one of the dear friends of this show is now attending college. He's a freshman there. So soccer's not my thing. Most Americans can't name a soccer player, a professional soccer player, but I did play in college, had a great time, won most improved for the season. And our school, we had a lot of kids. This was a missionary school. And so we had a lot of kids who grew up with missionary families, American families, but who lived in Africa and South America, and some in the Philippines. And so these kids would come to America back in the 70s, and they were fabulous at soccer. So even though we were a small private school, we played in the big leagues with the big universities, Penn State and all. I remember going to Penn State. We just had a grand old time in college playing soccer. So thank you, Spain's team at the World Cup. Now, they were in the semifinals, right? Against Germany? Against Germany. That's going to be rough. Did they even play that game yet? What is the saying? The Brits invented football and the Germans win it. The rest of the world calls it football. We call it soccer. America's quite a country, right? We play the World Series, Major League Baseball. We play the World Series by ourselves. It's different. Within a week or so, we just recorded a show earlier today. Will Duffy, my producer, and I, I asked Will to look into the Barack Obama birth certificate issue and just give us an overview of all the stories that have broken on that issue. And we did that today, just before showtime. We'll air it next week. It's just an astounding overview of the things that have happened. Barack Obama's own official websites claiming that he was born in different hospitals and in different years. And he's using a social security number from Connecticut, which has no role whatsoever to play in any of Obama's bio, the true part or the fabricated part. And the senior elections clerk in Honolulu, who said that when the story broke, he and his boss looked into it, and there is no record in Hawaii of Obama being born there. There is no birth certificate record. So let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278 in Denver. John, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, sir. What's up?
Yes, sir. I had a question for you. Now, my question kind of came about as a result of watching a program that was on television about a while back, but it involved the situation we see nowadays where an 11-year-old who does a sexually immoral act but is registered as a sex offender for life, and the question of, well, is it fair? Is that just? I was just wondering what your take on this is. What is the age of accountability? Does that come into play? And what would the biblical option be for justice in these kind of situations?
All right. Well, John, we don't have a great line to your cell phone, so let me talk about that, and we'll say goodbye. All right.
All right, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. It's always great to use a landline if you can. So that's a Bible question, and we love Bible questions here at Bob and Yart Live. We talk about pretty much everything that interests human beings, from science, creation, that God created us. We didn't evolve from animals. And so we debate evolutionists, and in fact, recent debate with a well-known author from Britain led to an article he wrote on the debate. He's a Darwinian evolutionist. And P.Z. Myers, one of the world's leading evolutionists, blogged on that debate and put my name in the title of his blog, which was pretty funny. So we linked to that, and we gave the P.Z. Myers trochlea challenge to any evolutionist, really, having to do with a sling in the human eye. So we deal with all kinds of topics: morality, ethics, philosophy, history, language, science, law, theology, family, church, including all these things from a biblical perspective. And there are not a lot of talk shows that do that. Famous conservative host will say, well, I don't know if I could claim to be a Christian. Or some are not Christian, and Christians actually think that they are, and they even say that they're not Christian. So here at Bob and Yart Live, we are Christian. We acknowledge that the Bible is God's Word, the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, the 66 books of the Bible inspired. And so the age of accountability is a topic that interests people, because we know that we're accountable to God, but how about a baby? How about an infant? And then at what point do you reach the age of accountability? Now, there are Christians who I respect greatly, including J. Vernon McGee, famous Christians like Gordon Carroll and others, who believe that the age of accountability is pretty old. And some people believe, as they look at the Bible and they quote the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, in the writings of Moses, they'll say that the age of accountability is 20 years of age. And some people say that. And I strongly disagree with that, but I think I understand what their argument is. But at what age is someone responsible to God for their sin? All right, that's an interesting question. I'm glad John brought that up. So let's talk through it. I'll tell you what my position is generally, and then we'll make references to the Bible. My position generally comes from the entire Bible, and especially Ezekiel 18, where God says that he would not punish a child for the sin of the father. And God gets angry at anybody who's going to imply that he punishes children because of their father's sin, because that would be unjust. So some people say, well, because of original sin, if a baby dies, God may send a baby to hell to suffer forever in damnation because the baby deserved it because Adam sinned.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. My brother Zachary loves to criticize this point about original sin, and he came up with a cartoon that he wants to make. Maybe if there's any cartoon graphic artists out there, you guys could reach out and we can make this together. That'd be fun. But it could just be a little baby who a little cartoon of a little baby who sadly dies, and then he goes up to heaven and he's like all happy that he's going up to heaven, and then he gets up to heaven and he wants to go into to go into heaven, and then God is there and he says, "Oh, well, you can't come in, you're guilty." And the baby is like, what? No, I didn't do anything wrong, and I'm a baby. And God says, oh, yeah, well, explain this. And then he points to a video, and it's just a camera recording of Adam and Eve sinning in the garden. And it would just be such a good illustration to show how absurd the idea is that we inherit guilt. We inherit a broken nature, but we do not inherit guilt. You know, you and I, we are guilty for our sin, but we are not guilty for someone else's sin. And so if you have a baby, you know, who dies, that baby is not guilty of Adam and Eve's sin.
If a baby dies, God may send a baby to hell to suffer forever in damnation because the baby deserved it because Adam sinned. And God says, well, wait a minute. When Israel had a cliche that they said that was false, and it was this: the fathers eat sour grapes and it sets the children's teeth on edge. You know, if you eat something sour, you bite into a lemon and your face scrunches up and all scrunches, and well, it's bitter, right? So they would say that because they were really blaming God. They thought, this is not fair. God is punishing us because our fathers were evil. And God got so angry, and he said, do not say that. As I live, says the Lord, stop saying that. It's making me angry. So God doesn't punish a child for the sins of the father. So those who teach that original sin is something that God would send a young child to hell for, they're wrong. But then what of the age of accountability? At what age is a human being now responsible to God? And I believe that that age differs with each person and their environment, and it is when they are capable of making a decision that they join with the rebellion against God. They realize that there is a battle between good and evil, and at some point in their lives, they side with the rebellion against God. Not necessarily consciously, but that's what they do. And so how about a child who's just born? Well, that child is alive to God, right? And we read that in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, that all the world was alive to God, but then the world denied God. And they rejected him and they died. Sin killed them spiritually. Romans chapter 7, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says that at one point in his life, he was alive to God. But then, and here's where the age of accountability comes in, but then when the commandment came, the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments, but then the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And then later, he became a Christian, and he was forgiven by God, and he was given eternal life. So what are the steps there? First, the baby in the womb is alive to God. Like John the Baptist, when he's 6 months old in the womb, and he jumps for joy, remember in Elizabeth's womb, he jumped for joy? Well, babies in the womb are alive to God. But then as they grow, they reach the point where God's law written on their hearts and God's law as shared with them through their culture becomes clear to them, and they make a conscious decision that I don't care what's right, I'm going to do what's wrong, and I'm going to defy the judge of all the earth. And it's not always as explicitly clear as that, but as human beings, we make that decision and we rebel against God. And God knows, shall not the judge of all the earth do rightly, the Bible says. God knows when each of us in our hearts, when we do this. So if you grow up in a home where your dad likes science and he talks to the kids often about science, and you could ask young kids, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old kids, questions about science, some pretty sophisticated questions, and they'll understand some extraordinary concepts. Babies are born with a rudimentary understanding of the laws of physics. Babies. So you'll have infants, like 1-year-old baby, and they'll show them blocks, and they'll pile blocks on top of each other, and then they're doing like a magic trick, and they take down the blocks, and the kid's like, well, big deal. You piled them up, you took them down. But then they'll remove the bottom blocks, and the baby will stare at it, like, what happened? Why is the top block not falling? So it's like a magic trick. And so they know that babies can do rudimentary math. They understand rudimentary physics. So God has created us wired for communication, for vision, and with an understanding of right and wrong. And so we have descended from Adam. And Adam sinned, he rebelled against God, and Adam died physically and spiritually. He died spiritually immediately, and the effects on his physical body took time, and eventually he died. When he had children, his children inherited the spiritual death that Adam took upon himself. Because you can't give your kids more than you are. You can't give more than you are. And so Adam had kids, and they were born with his flesh, the dead part of him that leads human beings to sin. But God says in Ezekiel 18 that the son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. But the one who sins shall die. In Jeremiah chapter 31, God says, look, don't say this expression about the father's eating sour grapes. God says, everyone will be punished for his own iniquity. And God says, stop saying that. You're bugging me. You're annoying me. But what of it if we come from Adam and he was dead spiritually? Don't we inherit his sin and his death? We do. The book of Romans says that. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul is the hardcore theologian in the entire Bible. The book of Romans is the ultimate theological treatise in the history of the world. And our study in the book of Romans that we offer at kgov.com is one of my favorite Bible studies for my whole life. So Paul says that all the world died in Adam. He writes that also to the Corinthians in chapter 15. In Romans 5, 12, all the world died in Adam. From Adam's sin, death came to all the world. But then Paul says, almost immediately, he goes on to say, but all were justified through Jesus Christ. And you read that also in 1 Corinthians 15 and John chapter 1. So what does that mean? Adam died when he rebelled against God. He died spiritually. Because of that, all his offspring suffer inheriting the flesh and Adam's tendency to rebel against God. So we would all exist in eternal separation from God, and it would be Adam's fault. But God wouldn't allow that because he's a God of justice and a God of love. So Jesus died on the cross to accomplish a number of things, primarily to take our place so that we don't have to go to hell. But he also justified all the world from Adam's sin. Not from my sin. I'm not justified from my sin unless I trust in Jesus Christ. But just as all the world died in Adam, all the world was justified through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. That's what the Bible teaches explicitly, explicitly. And so God would never send a child to hell because his father was evil or because Adam sinned. Never. God would never do that. So a child who grows up in a household where dad is always talking about science, those kids, they begin to understand what science is about, the laws of science, pretty young. Kids who grow up, kids with the same IQ and all, and they grow up maybe in a culture where they don't have any kind of formal education and they're not taught the laws of science and they just have no idea. They look up at a cloud in the sky. They have no idea why it's there. They don't even know what it's made of. They don't know what the earth is on. They don't know why the moon appears in the sky. They don't know why it doesn't fall. They don't know what causes the waves. They just don't know. And so those kids will not come to an understanding of the laws of physics and science as soon as other kids who are exposed to these things. So kids whose parents are Christian, who raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, those kids learn about God and the long war against God. They learn about that real early. And they learn about the goodness of God. And they learn that when we do wrong, we're sinning against God and our loved ones, and we're hurting ourselves. And so our kids could become spiritually aware at a very young age. And I believe it is common in the world that the age of accountability for children who are taught the gospel of Jesus Christ tends to be much younger than kids who grow up in a non-Christian environment where they are not taught about God. They don't understand what Jesus Christ did for them. And on average, their age of accountability will be later. I think that is the case. I think the Bible shows us that. Jesus Christ said that to whom much is given, much is required. To whom less is given, less is required. And shall not the judge of all the earth do rightly? The book of Romans also tells us things like, by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. And the knowledge of sin, you've heard of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That tree is a symbol of the law. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a symbol of the law. And God said to Adam and Eve, if you partake of it, you will die. And they partook of it, and they died spiritually. And they had the knowledge of sin. And Moses, what happened with Moses? Moses went up the mountain of Sinai. God gave him the Ten Commandments. He came down, and the day that God gave the Ten Commandments, on that day, the Bible says, about 3,000 men of the people were killed. the day the law was given. But then the Apostle Paul wrote that the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. And he says, the Spirit is God. The Spirit is Lord. And the day the Holy Spirit was given, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, and that day about 3,000 were saved. So Adam sinned. Adam's sin affects us in a terrible way because we inherit the flesh from our fathers. And by the way, from our fathers, not our mothers. All the world sinned in Eve. Is that what the Bible says? No. Repeatedly, it's Adam. All the world sinned in Adam and died in Adam. That's why Jesus could have an earthly mother, but the Holy Spirit fertilized Mary's ovum. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and completed with a genetic complement, her DNA. So Jesus is actually human, born of the seed of the woman, as we read in Galatians chapter 4, born of a woman. And as we read in Genesis chapter 3, he came as the seed of the woman, and from Abraham's body and from David's body. The Bible says this explicitly. So he's a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and God said to David, from your body the king will come who will sit on the throne of an eternal kingdom. So Jesus was born of Mary's actual body. She was a physical descendant of David, and go back through Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. So it's all fascinating. Jesus did not inherit sin from Adam because that sin is passed on through the Father. It's really a phenomenal study, and we've done this in our Bible studies. If you get our Romans Bible study, you'll learn some of these things. We have Romans Volume 1, which explores so many of these fascinating ideas. And 1 Corinthians. We study the book of 1 Corinthians. And at Denver Bible Church, where I'm the pastor, we go through the scriptures verse by verse. Today, I had a 19-year-old college student. I was out taking pictures of some Amendment 62 campaign materials. And a college student came up to me and he said, Bob Enyart, hey, Bob, good to see you. He said, I want to let you know that in the last month or so, I've listened to 30 of your Bible studies, 30, while I'm at work, and I just love what I'm learning about God's Word. I love it. And I was blown away because when young people tell adults that they appreciate the knowledge and experience of the adults, it makes us feel good. When young people recognize, hey, this old geezer's got something to share. And his name is Mark. And I said, Mark, thank you so much for those encouraging words. And he said, no, thank you for doing these Bible studies and recording them. So if you enjoy studying the Bible, if you want to know the Bible better, well, then join us at Denver Bible Church, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night Bible study, but also online at kgov.com. Click on the store and you'll have a blast with our Bible studies. This is Bob Enyart. God bless you.